It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already October 24th and 25th, depending on when you're listening to this. Columbus Day has come and gone. Fall foliage is here. Summer went by fast. I think fall went by even faster. My world is back almost to normal. People are flocking back to the dentist. They have really been so since July. Our July, August, and September claims equaled what they were in 2019. But from March 16th to May 11th, hardly anybody went to the dentist, and so I was busy providing all forms of relief, and that package totaled about $27 million to the community in terms of employers with dental insurance and our dentists. But today, I have with me a Hall of Fame coach in New Hampshire soccer circles, Coach George Pinkham, who's coached for Bow for many years and prior to that Concord High School. So I'm going to have a theme today of sports, not only high school sports, but we're going to begin, though, with a professional topic, which is Tom Brady's legacy. So with that, Coach Pinkham, thank you for joining me, and thank you earlier this year when things, this was pre-COVID, that you came to the Dancing with the Stars. And by the way, I still haven't gotten over that either. I was one vote shot short of winning that, too. I'm really struggling between the opening loss that the Celtics had against the Heat, the 2007 fall season of Bow High School sports when we lost to Hanover in the finals, then both teams in Division II, and, of course, later that winter when the Patriots lost their immaculate season. But I move on. How are you doing?
I am raring to go, Tom.
That's good. Okay.
I just turned 70 years old.
Oh, my God. You look fabulous.
So, I haven't hopefully skipped a beat.
Good. Well, geez.
You got to hold me back.
Super. So let's before we get into, and I think we're actually going to provide an educational service because I do want to sort of communicate with the community on how you've done socially distanced practice, and incidentally, did connect with your soccer captain Matt, and we're doing the Delta Dental sponsoring the sweatsuits again. But let's talk a little bit about Tom Brady. So let me just say this: I hope both parties continue to do well. The Patriots under Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft, and Brady with Tampa Bay. So I don't want to see one side or the other. I think those debates that people have been having on ESPN and other sports venues talking about who's really more the bigger contributor, you know, Brady or Belichick, I think that's almost like a false choice because I think it was in tandem. Clearly you need a great quarterback to win in the NFL, and clearly you need a great head coach, and they worked together. And to some extent it was pretty amazing that the Eagles could, except for the last couple of years, basically, you know, stay in check. And even when the ego issues were starting to surface, they still managed, you know, to win one last Super Bowl against the Rams, and almost, you know, had, you know, beaten Philadelphia the year before. So, what's your kind of take? I have to admit, I was disappointed that Kraft didn't jump in, the owner, and just say to Belichick and Brady, look, I know Tom, you want a 3-year contract. I know Bill, you only want Tom to have a 1-year contract. Let's split the difference. Let's make it a 2-year contract. Shake hands, and let's just try to eke out one more Super Bowl. I was hoping that he would have that conversation, and maybe he did, but it didn't result in the outcome. So what's your take on all this?
Well, like you, I go back to the Babe Parilli days.
Wow. Babe Parilli being, for the listening audience, we know this, Ken Keel knows this, but he was one of the original quarterbacks for the then Boston Patriots. There was even a year for a little short while, we'll call the Bay State Patriots, but then people figured out that the nickname would be BS Patriots, and so that didn't work. And, of course, in those days, they played like BS. So,
yeah.
So go ahead.
He gave New England 20 years, and you can't dismiss that. You know, we've been in heaven for 20 years with the Patriots. Because, as I said, going back to Babe Parilli, we know, you know, the days so the cupboard was barren and bare. you can't just dismiss him with sour grapes and say, ah, he left us, he stabbed us. No, he didn't. I think Belichick was smart. I will be surprised if he does get through the next year or two healthy. You know, the NFL, you don't stay healthy. And he's led a charmed life. Unlike Johnny Damon, who of all things left the Red Sox to go to the Yankees, and yet he was incredible in the World Series win. No, Damon, I don't care if I ever see him again. And when we went to Carolina, visited my brother. He's got a Johnny Damon's restaurant down there in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah, my brother said, you know, we got to go in. No way. I didn't want to go in. And because he did. When he went to the Yankee, he stabbed us in the back. Tom Brady, I wish him well. He gave us 20 years. I wish the best for him. Did he stab us? No, he didn't. He made a decision. And I don't look at – you've mentioned the thing between Belichick and him as the ego. I don't know. Belichick's a smart guy, and he realized what I think I've said is, you know, you don't play too much NFL football past the age of 40. And Brady is what now, 43. And so thank him very much for the 20 years. Wish him best when he comes back to New England, which he will eventually. For things, I hope they don't boo him. I really think that would be bad, and I cheer him.
Yeah, I don't think they'll boo him. I think even younger than us realize that we led a charmed life for, you know, making 10 straight conference finals. You know, getting into more Super Bowls than any other team, winning 6 of them, which, you know, ties. Pittsburgh and consistently winning not just 9 or 10 games, but consistently winning like 12 or more games. So pretty incredible. I was just kind of hoping that, you know, if either side just gave a little, if Brady said, okay, I'll do one more 1-year contract, or if Kraft made Belichick give Brady a 2-year contract.
Would have loved to see him end this career.
It would have been nice, and I was, because, you know, it is kind of weird when you see, you know, Michael Jordan in a Washington outfit.
That's weird. Not Michael Jordan.
And when you see Joe Montana, and he did bring Kansas City to the playoffs, but it's still weird. It's even weirder to see Johnny Unitas in a Los Angeles Chargers uniform, or Johnny Unitas in a Los Angeles Chargers uniform, or Joe Namath in a Los Angeles Rams uniform. And so now we are dating ourselves. But Ken Kill told me when I'm on his show every Friday that people love this talk. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I want to get into the high school stuff so we and can make sure we provide the information. But let's just take a 1-minute tour on Tuukka Rask. I'm not sure if the Bruins would have won the Stanley Cup this year anyway. It seemed like their return to their version of the bubble, they weren't in it as much as
mentally. But when they came back, they just didn't seem to have the drive to, you know, to come close to winning a championship. And no way do I blame it on Tuukka Rask. The only thing I blame on him was his timing for it. You know, that's the worst. But again, you got to go with him if he said no, I can't play. And but I do feel the Bruins as a whole, for whatever reason, you know, when they came back and had to deal with the virus and stay, just, I don't know, I thought they really lost that competitive
drive. Yeah, they just kind of, because they were definitely the best team all year. But, but of course, in the NHL, unlike, you know, the NBA, the NHL, the best team, it almost doesn't matter. Like, the eighth team often beats team often beats the first place team based on a hot goaltender, based on hitting, based on injuries. It's rare, you know, that an eighth place seeded team in basketball beats the top ranked. And of course, in NCAA basketball, the 16th seed I think has only won like once or twice.
Right? Once, I remember.
Yeah. So I mean, but in hockey that's pretty routine. So if you're not into it 100%, you're not going to win. I thought when they won the first game against Tampa Bay, they might be able to eke it out. But I think once they lost second game, which was highly contested, but heartbreaking. Yeah. Then I kind of knew it was over. Mm-hmm. So let's switch to what you're in control of, which is high school soccer. So tell us, just for educating, and after the commercial break, we'll get into the schedule and the mouth guard rule, et cetera. But how have you done socially distanced practice, and tell us about that from your perspective.
Well, we have, of course, guidelines that are given to us by the NHIAA, and Michael Desolets, our AD, you know, does a great job in getting them to coaches, getting them understood, you know, what has to be done. Practices around the school, the high school, things like that, you know, students are required to wear their masks. They go to practice. They're wearing their masks. Michael said in, you know, a lot of schools are in the same guidelines. When you start your physical workouts, then they can take them off for the duration of the practice. A little different when you get to games. You know, you have to wear them on the bus. You wear them to the game. Players on the field are the only ones allowed to take them off. Players on the bench, there's no benches. You're sitting 6 feet apart on the sideline. There are, I know of only one school, Hopkinton, where masks have to be worn also by players on the field. We play Hopkinton twice, and actually our first two games, we you know, played them and had to wear masks. We practice with them though, so we get used to them, and it's something we're not used to, but we want to play the games.
We make it work, and I love that spirit. And no different, as you know, I'm starting to get back in shape, so I'm running races again. And John Mortimer in the Millennium Run improved. We can do socially distanced running. You know, you kind of line up like you're going on a Southwest airline flight, you know, 6 feet apart, and then the starting mat. So it's real racing. So it's really great to see that you all have been up to the challenge, because I feel bad for athletes. Like last spring, you know, if you were a high school senior and your thing was baseball, well, you lost out.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see that happening in the fall.
And I ran into a bunch of seniors last year at the end in June that had actually started working summer jobs. And I said, what? And that was the one thing they mentioned that hurt the most, was not being able to finish their senior year.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio this October 24th and 25th, 9:05 a.m. on Saturday the 24th, if you're listening on the 24th, and on the Sunday show, which is rerun, is at 7:05. And if Coach Pinkham has some tremendous, you know, words of wisdom, you can go on the AnyDelta.com website, and believe it or not, Northeast Delta Dental Radio has been running close to 13 years, and I don't even know if Coach Pinkham realizes this, but it's the longest-running show on the Pulse with the same name, with the same host who has curly hair. So with all those qualifications, I'm not quite as famous as you in terms of, you know, being top five in victories of all time in New Hampshire soccer. But in any event, can you explain why, I know it's probably figuring out the guidelines and so forth, but why the schedule didn't start until September 21st, and how the schedule has changed to keep it sort of more local?
A couple of reasons, mainly because of all of the upheaval that, you know, the virus caused in the schools, particularly the beginning of schools. They felt that starting sports earlier, like we normally do around, let's say, the 15th of August, that school hadn't even started yet. And it was kind of throwing the athletics a little bit before the school itself and the educational process. So they didn't want to cause, you know, they wanted the school itself, the learning process, to begin without any real interference. And so they chose, a lot of schools in all did, couldn't start until after the schools themselves had opened. Got things working in, you know, an order where kids could get used to it before they wanted to begin the extracurricular stuff.
And that makes sense, because, sports, you know, I'm a jock. I love sports, but you don't want to elevate it to the point of, you know, that it overrides, you know, the educational institution itself. So that makes sense. No different than, you know, Big Ten football return later.
I said, this is just like the good old days. When I was in high school, when we started sports, it wasn't until the Monday after the Monday of Labor Day. So we did not start preseason. We didn't have any preseason.
But those are the good old days, George, when you could be with your family. Well, the last summer of vacation.
When I played soccer at Plymouth State, I looked at my records there to a certain extent to find out when we actually started a season, college season, on September 28th one year. I think it was my sophomore year. That was our first game.
Wow. And
colleges then didn't get back until the middle of September.
Exactly. And so Labor Day weekend used to be used as like your last family summer vacation. And I remember even, you know, that's when you would maybe the football camps in the 70s started the week before Labor Day. But for the most part, Labor Day was kind of the line of demarcation, so we kind of returned to that. So tell us how and if there's going to be statewide championships, and how do you deal with, like, socially distancing, like if you have to take a bus to, you know, opponent, or is it all so local that that's not an issue?
A lot of schools, in terms of transportation, well, first of all, with the schedule, it's area schools. They didn't want schools hopefully further than 15, 20 miles away, where it's going to be a longer trip. So we're clustered in with Hopkinton, Hillsboro, Merrimack Valley, Pembroke, Bishop Brady. Those are area schools. The difference there is there are some Division II schools like ourselves and some Division III schools like Hopkinton. So there's not going to be any seedings. There's not going to be any 1 through 21s or whatever in terms of seedings. At the last, we had heard they're still working with a format for teams to have a tournament at the end of the year. They hadn't arrived at a consensus yet as to how they would do it. And in fact, they were thinking about having an open in that teams that didn't want to participate in a tournament at the end of the year didn't have to. They were asked if they wanted to, and if they declined no, then only those teams that wanted to continue in a tournament, you know, would have one. There are, you know, a bunch of different things have been kicked around.
So is that that'd be a geographical championship? So all the teams that you played somewhat locally?
No, the NHIAA was adamant. They wanted a statewide tournament. And in fact, they are still using the same dates that were originally set for the tournaments, first round, second round, semifinals, finals.
Oh. Well, I hope that works.
At the same sites also.
Well, I hope
they were.
I hope that works out, and hopefully, unlike professional sports, maybe parents socially distance can be in the stands. Is there any rule of thumb on that you're aware of?
No, other than masks have to be worn, you know, at all spectators coming, and numbers are going to be set, particularly like at the end when you are expecting a bigger crowd. Most of the NHIAA athletic directors didn't feel that, like, home crowds were going to be big enough to warrant limiting the number. But if it got to that point, then yes, you know, they would have to limit the number of spectators coming.
And I'm sure, like everything else, there's possibilities of course correction depending on, you know, the pandemic.
And in fact, I think probably you saw in the paper where the first week Wyndham had to close down for 14 days.
Yep.
Their sports because a number of students did test positive the first week.
And that happened in professional baseball too. The St. Louis Cardinals for a long time played like 15 less games because of that. And even in business, like we, just real quick, because I do want to talk about the mouth guard rule. I mean, these are round figures, but if we have like 250 employees, you know, 50 have been working with me socially distanced since March, and the other 200 virtual, and I'm going to keep it that way because it's working, and it's efficient, and But obviously, you know, we're monitoring the virus. So the mouth guard rule, have they enhanced the mouth guard rule, George?
No, actually, this year, they've done away with mouth guards being mandatory.
Really?
Yes.
I needed to be involved with that discussion. Now, why did they do that? Because of the mask?
Well, there was a presentation made, I want to say last year, maybe 2 years ago. And the argument made by, actually, it was a dentist who made it, or an oral surgeon, one or the other, that actually wearing a mouth guard was more detrimental to the spreading of germs, and because of the fact that a lot of times they're taken out, a lot of times they're exchanged, this and that. You know, I wasn't there, but it was presented, and I think they had this in mind with the virus now, with the spreading of it, how easy it is in the air. So I don't, to be, you know, I was just told, and by our AD, and it's in the actually the NHRAA guidelines for the fall for the sports, soccer, that and all other sports, that this year they are not making wearing of mouth guards mandatory in sports.
So so in conjunction with a coronavirus, you know, I perhaps could see that, but I would just offer my own little advice. If you're a parent, whether you've paid, you know, $5,000 for braces on your children or just want to see your children to be safe, I mean, if you pay for a fitted mouth guard, and we actually have some employers that have our dental plan that where the fitted mouth guard is actually a covered benefit. Most are not. So let's say it's $150. You can keep it sanitary, and the child, the son or daughter, will keep it in their mouth because it's fitted, and they can also keep it pristine. So I'm assuming, optionally, can a player wear a mouth guard if they want to?
Oh, sure. No,
okay.
They're just saying if you choose not to, you know, they're not going to enforce the rule where you left the game, and your team had to play down, and you weren't allowed back on the field
until you had
your mouth guard.
Yeah, that rule always kind of bothered me. I think, to me, it's like a teaching moment. You know, stop the game, have the student put it in or whatever. And I know that there have been some serious tournament games that have been won or lost, you know, based on that. So I kind of agree that not making mouth guard an issue. But, if you're a parent out there, the sound of my voice, I would – make the investment on a fitted mouth guard, which can keep sanitary and will be worth your investment in your son's teeth. So you've been coaching many years. You're way up on the list along with your brother Dave, and we have gotten the ruling that the Pinkham boys, the Pinkham brothers, do have the most wins nationally. I've declared that with some additional research I've done on my own, plus I do look at Rob Grable's, coach of Hanover, his book
of
records.
Incredible job.
Tell us, I know you've said this before. I mean, obviously you're a great leader, but part of it too is kind of the culture, you know, in the community, and the influence, of travel teams and et cetera. So tell us, give us a little 2 minutes on that.
It's the idea of the little guy fighting for recognition, and my brother-in-law and my daughter, of course, live in Kentucky, and he didn't even know, you know, where New Hampshire was 15 years ago when they started dating, and some of the things I would hit him with, are you sure? are you sure about that? And the only thing he could hit me with Kentucky was that I didn't realize it was a Union state. It wasn't a Confederate state. it's the New England culture part of it, and it's also the little guy that's got to prove that they can play with the big guy. And I think in New Hampshire in particular, we have such a diverse culture. A lot of course, early French Canadians, and coming south, and of course, then you have your Irish, and then it's just a work ethic that is instilled in, I think, a lot of people in New Hampshire that we can do it.
Right, and now
but
you have
got to put our mind to it.
Exactly, and that,
and when
not,
we put our mind to it, hey, we can.
Yeah,
we can beat the big guys.
Yeah, it's been amazing as I follow that. And the other thing, and George is being humble, but there's also some great coaches in addition to George, his brother Dave, and people like Rob Gravel and Jeff Tufts, and the list is actually pretty endless. Of
Tom, if anybody asked me what's your greatest pleasure coaching the game of soccer, I would have to say it's the people I got to know. The other coaches that influenced me, I was blessed. I was lucky to get to know some of them. As friends, too, but as coaches, some of the best in the business.
Exactly. And you see that at the end of the year when I used to go to the year-end conferences or awards, and you can see the coaches. Well, certainly they're fierce competitors during the season. They're all friends. And also they're all leaders of young men, in this case, or young women, depending on the gender. And people have heard me say this, but one of my sons, and by the way, both sons are married and doing well, but one of my sons was pretty good and played for George, and basically George turned around his life. So it's beyond soccer. It's great. So George, I hope you coach until you're 90. I don't know if Suzanne is going to let you do that, but I'm counting on that. And
yeah.
we didn't know time to get into the academy influence in the high school game. But I'm so glad that most people are still sticking to the high school game because it is the best experience. I'm just saying this through acclamation. It's the best experience for your senior year. If you're son or daughter has a great fall season, whether they win a championship or just play well, it's a great experience. So, Coach Pinkham, thank you. I will definitely see you on a sideline. I'll be the one wearing the Delta Dental mask.
Tom, thanks so much for having me.
And enjoy the season, and if there are championships, I will definitely follow that. Coach George
Pinkham, thanks.
Thank you so much.